League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
This will officially be the final out of the game, you would think, although Loperfido hustling all the way made it a close play, but that'll do it for the Astros. In the ninth inning, they do get a run on three hits, the home run by Jeremy Peña, but they dropped their second straight game to the A's, and they are now 2-3 on this road trip, having lost their last three-game losing streak for the first time since late May. They will remain in first place thanks to a Mariners 5-1 loss.
I mean, thank God for that last one. Thank God that the Seattle Mariners are playing like what Oakland A's normally do right now, because, okay, you lose the first game of a series to an Oakland team that's been playing better of late. I can let that slide. You lose 8-2 to the A's yesterday, Joe. Come on. What are we doing here?
We're throwing a pitcher who is not major league ready is what they're doing right now.
I mean, that's true.
He's just not. Now, the offense sucks, too. There's no way to ignore that over the last two games. You could have won on Monday. You should have scored more than four runs against the Oakland A's and got a victory then. But yesterday, what, the A's hit five home runs. They were just teeing off on Bloss, and then it was everyone else was just as bad, it seemed like, in this game. But you're throwing a guy that, you know, the Astros put out their in their PR email they send out before every game. They made a big deal in the email about how Jake Bloss is one of, like, five guys from last year's draft, including Paul Skenes, who have already made it to the big.
Let's put him in the same category
as Paul
Skenes. Well, there's
a big difference because Paul Skenes lost his first game of the season yesterday. He went 8.1 innings, struck out eight guys, and gave up two runs. And the Astros will be seeing him next week, which, not going to lie, can't wait. But Jake Bloss is not in that category. He has been thrust into a position that he is not ready for. There is a lot of potential there. It shows that he's already in the bigs and how much Dana Brown believes in his talent. He ain't ready.
Where was this for Blair Henley, Joe George?
Blair Henley was not a third-round pick or a second-round pick. I do apologize to Blair Henley. When we played the Fall Guy Open for the first time in a while yesterday, I forgot that I included him getting rocked in that open. Well, apologies again. But honestly, maybe it's time to bring Blair Henley back after last night's game.
No.
Maybe it's time.
You killed his career.
It's time for redemption. It might be last night. That was just tough. He wasn't ready, and the A's just dominated him in a way that they shouldn't. They've got a lot of young, scrappy players, a lot of young talent.
Now you sound like the Astros PR staff here. They're plucky. They're the A's.
They are.
They're making $5 an hour.
But it shouldn't have happened.
No doubt. Yeah, we won't even play the Fall Guy Open today. Because it's punching down to say that Jake Bloss was the Fall Guy, but he was.
Or is it Dana Brown?
It's interesting that you say that. Joe, I want to tell you a story.
Oh, I like story time.
Have you ever heard about the tale of the little engine that could?
I have.
Okay. Well, you've probably heard the fake news version.
Okay.
So the little engine that could, it's this train. Apparently it's a self-aware train. And it's little. Not to be mean, it's you-sized, Joe. It's small.
Happy Wednesday.
S-M-O-L. Yes, happy Wednesday indeed. And as this thing was chugging along with a load behind it that was probably too big, you know what? It did its best. It tried really hard. I think I can. And then it got towards the top of the hill. But then all of a sudden, the grade that it was going up was actually too much for the little engine that could. And the load that was behind it, oh no, all of a sudden, everyone realized that this train was not going to make it to the top of the hill. So it started going backwards, and the conductor's in there, and he's yelling at everybody, hey, we got to get off the train. And some people are able to, ah, oh no, what's going on? And all of a sudden, the train starts going backwards, and a couple of the cars, they fall off the tracks, and the conductor, he has to think to himself, man, do I go all the way down with my train? And he thinks to himself, you know what? I'm not going to do that. So he pulls out a pistol and he blows his brains out because he doesn't want to die in a fiery explosion or be burned by all the coal. And as the train, the little engine that could, continues to go down the hill, it falls to the bottom and the train moves sideways and it's rolling over and it's falling all the way down. Like, that's what really happened in the story of the little engine that could. They don't tell children that. It's a little
graphic. Yeah, I don't think I'm telling my three-year-old that version of the story,
well,
Paul.
But this is the realistic thing that you have to look at. What the Astros have done with their cute little rotation that has featured Spencer Arrighetti and Jake Bloss and the best version of Hunter Brown of late and the best version of Ronel Blanco, they have done all that they can. They are at the point now where the real story of the little engine that could, reality started catching up, because it's eventually going to catch up. The Astros needed to make a move to get a pitcher weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We could say yesterday, Joe, but I saw you tweet this at the same time that I did. They got to make a move right now.
They got to be on the phone. And I know they are. And I know we'll do down with Dana Brown because he was on the flagship this morning and gave a bunch of quotes about what they're able to go after and what they're not going to be able to get. But they need to make a move quick. And honestly, we discussed it yesterday. James Paxton should be signed to the Houston Astros by the end of the day. He is a better option for you in this moment. He is free 99 on free agency. You don't have to give a prospect for him. He was DFA'd by the Dodgers. Go sign him. Just give someone that can save your bullpen a little bit. Because even Bloss and Arrighetti, you know, Arrighetti, he went, what, six innings the other day, I believe. But Bloss, you just can't rely on him to give you more than four innings. You're going to eat your bullpen alive again. This is a moment to make a move like that. Maybe Paxton doesn't have to be a long-term answer to your rotation, and hopefully the deadline can get something better. But you've got a viable option available for you right now. And they need to make a move on James Paxton as soon as possible. Get him in Houston. Get him here so he can make his next start instead of Jake Bloss. It's the right move to make.
I'd like to see Paxton here. There is a gut feeling that he'll get hurt because his entire career, he's just had the absolute worst luck.
I just need him to stay healthy enough for Verlander and Garcia can get back, and then his arm can fall off.
So, I mean, it might fall off before they get back, though. That's the tricky thing here. I'm just going to go through the list of potential targets for the Astros. You say yes or no really quickly, because I think we're both in agreement. Hey, look. James Paxton, you don't have to give anything up for him. Right-handed pitcher Jack Flaherty for the Detroit Tigers, who's 6-5 with a 3.13 ERA, a 32.1 strikeout percentage. He's on a one-year deal. I say yay.
Yes.
Jesus Luzardo, who is on the 60-day DL with a back injury, 3-6 with a 5 ERA, but under team control the next 2 years. Nay.
Nay.
Yusei Kikuchi. 4-8 with a 4.42 ERA on a one-year deal. Nay. Nay, 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 nay.
I'm a yay.
He is a lefty, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I'm a yay on him.
He has had stretches where he has been very good. I saw them in Seattle.
Yeah, but I don't want to give up a lot for him, but I'm a yay.
Eric Fetty, a righty for the White Sox. 7-3 with a 2.99 ERA in the first of a two-year, $15 million deal.
Oh, yeah.
I say yay.
I'm a Kool-Aid man, that one. Give me a yay.
Zach Eflin for the Rays, 5-6, 3.99 ERA, owed $22.7 million through 2025. I'm going to say nay. It's too much money.
Nay.
Chris Bassitt, 35, owed $30 million through 2025, 8-7 with 3.52 ERA. Too old, nay.
Nay.
He's going to get hurt.
Yep, nay.
Blake Snell, nay.
Yes.
You're in front of Blake Snell?
I'm a yay.
He's 0-3 with a 6.31 ERA.
Take the flyer.
Okay.
Well, he has to opt out of his contract.
Gotcha.
He has to guarantee that he's not going to opt into his contract the next 2 years.
Okay.
Then I'm a yay. If he won't do that, then I'm a nay.
Tyler Anderson, 8-8, 2.97 ERA. He's 34, owed $17.3 million through 2025. I say yay.
Yay.
Jordan Montgomery with the D-backs, 6-5, 6.44 ERA, owed $8.3 million the rest of this year, a player option for 2025. I'll say yay.
I'm a yay.
He pitched well in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I'll take the flyer.
Trevor Bauer in Mexico with cholera.
No. The Astros can't afford to bring cholera into the clubhouse.
They can't.
If an Astros player...
Is Trevor Bauer cholera? I don't know.
If Trevor Bauer got cholera and gave it to an Astros player, that Astros player may die based on the health staff.
That's true.
I mean, what would happen to Kyle Tucker if he got cholera?
I mean, yeah. I
he can't even come back from a foul ball.
I would not trust the Astros training staff or medical staff on the Oregon Trail. You know, we're going on a grueling pace with meager rations, and everyone's getting dysentery. And
yeah, it's not good.
A lot of bodies are getting left along the way.
Yeah, there's a lot of people are not making it to Montana, like in Yellowstone.
You go a lot quicker as you lose bodies if you've ever played the Oregon Trail.
It's true.
It's always, you just don't want to be your guy to be one of the people that dies while playing that.
Yeah, you
want to
live.
Game.
We need to bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, there should be a way to do it in like a more modern way. But yeah, I love to go hunting.
But I
kind of
want
to
play the old way. Like just like the old pixelated game.
Oh, the pixelated one. Yeah. I loved hunting in that because I would just buy a ton of ammo at every single trade depot and just basically spin around in a circle. Like,
should we become game streamers? Should we start like the three of us just like at home? I'll ignore my child and we'll just play Oregon Trail together. The three of us.
You guys have a video game addiction, if I'm not mistaken.
We do.
I have actually beaten my video game addiction. I don't play video games anymore.
I'm getting antsy for college football. I don't have it still.
Sean's playing the NCAA football 25 game. Yes. And Joe, you're a Call of Duty guy.
Yes. Big Call of Duty guy right now.
Warfare or Warzone or actual
Deathmatch?
No,
Team Deathmatch. Oh, always. Okay. I don't like Warzone. It's not for me.
Hmm.
I mean, because I suck at it, so I just gave up. I'm okay at Team Deathmatch.
I just don't like how quick everything moves in the Team Deathmatch. I think it's unrealistic for someone to spawn behind you. I hate that.
That does bother me.
It drives me crazy.
The small maps are tough.
And so Battlefield's better than Call of Duty always was.
Agreed.
Even the bad Battlefield that came out a couple years ago. Who no one cares about that? But no one really wants to talk about the Astros losing to the A's two games in a row. They need a pitcher. They needed him weeks ago. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN 975. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Dana Brown had some very interesting things to say about what the Astros plan to do at the trade deadline, but I'm freaking out over something else that he said. You'll hear what that is next. What? Galan and George. Paul can't speak English. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Jose Soriano, that ball drilled. Zach Gelof knew that one off the bat. Well beyond the out-of-town scoreboard. Home run number four for the A's in the fourth inning. Two in the fourth, one in the third, one in the first. And the A's have hit some shots tonight against the rookie Jake Gloss.
Oh, boy. I mean, look, the Astros, they need some arms. And you know what? Very special announcement because... You know how Rock the Mic is back, and we're looking for the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic, you're getting a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Send a 3 to 5 minute video to rockthemic975@gmail.com. Again, rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale August 23rd at Carbach. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com. This is a bonus, and Joe hasn't told anybody about this, but if you enter in an application, you also might have a chance to have a tryout for the Houston Astros for their starting rookie.
I mean, at this point, yeah.
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 I mean...
They need the help.
Listen, maybe you don't want a podcast, but don't you want a chance to pitch in the big leagues?
Mm-hmm.
To throw that 42-mile-per-hour gas...
42
bounces before it reaches home plate. Don't you want a chance to see what you got? Okay.
We could have the winner. Should we have the winner throw out a first pitch at the Space Cowboys game night?
Yes.
Next year? We could throw that in there.
I like that.
I could throw that in.
Let's throw some more perks on top.
Let's throw some perks in. I really need like twitch.tv/ESPN975, the trash talkers on there that don't like some things. I want them to enter. I want to challenge them. Ooh. The ones that say that, you know, they're unhappy when we talk Texans. They don't like the way we talk Astros. Mm. They get their feelings hurt. Mm. They think they can do this job so well. Mm. I would like them to enter the competition. Prove to me you can do it better than us.
They're just hecklers, man.
But just, come on. Give it a shot.
You just threw the gauntlet down.
Yeah, they won't do it.
Mm.
Bam!
So, Dana Brown. The man is quite political. Generally, when he speaks, everything feels so damn wishful, yet optimistic. But I'm a little concerned with something that he said earlier today with the Astros flagship. It's time for another segment of Down with Dana Brown. Are you down with Dana? You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see. Dana Brown on the Astros flagship said this morning, and oh my God, I am now starting to freak out about Kyle Tucker. So here's the good. He's starting light baseball activities on the field and hitting inside. He's dealing with soreness, and the deep bone bruise is really sore. He needs to be fully healthy, but he's making progress. Light baseball activities, making progress. But he also said, I'd be really disappointed if it was September, but we're optimistic it'll be before September that Kyle Tucker returns. Okay, so this has gone from a couple of days to before September.
I mean, at this point, if I was a bet on this, my bet is we'll see Kyle Tucker in 2025. It's just the way it's going. It's going so slow.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about September. Dana Brown never, ever does that. He never gives a real timeline. To say they'd be disappointed if it was September, yeah, they're optimistic, but it's going so slow. That's terrifying. That Kyle Tucker, maybe they're going to have to do a lot more at the trade deadline than just add a starting pitcher and a bullpen arm. Because you're not going back to the World Series. You're not going back to the ALCS without Kyle Tucker. I don't see it.
Especially with the struggles of the offense of late. To the point where, in this conversation with the Astros flagship, Brown mentioned that Pedro Leon, who is the Astros' best player in the minors right now, at the AAA level at the very least, he's hitting 300+. He's got, I think, 17 homers, 80 RBIs or so. He apparently could actually be up on the major league roster at some point. And that's interesting because of the depth that the Astros have in the outfield that you at least think they have. But all right, if they're thinking about moving Pedro Leon up at some point, that makes me wonder if it's because Tucker is going to take a lot longer to get back.
Yeah, I mean, if they see Pedro Leon coming up, it means to me a couple things. Obviously, they didn't trade him at the deadline. Duh. But it will probably speak more to Chaz and his struggles, Jake and his recent struggles, as you know, he's now below 240 on the season. If that continues and you're not going to get Kyle Tucker back, you might have to really explore finding an alternative option. And Pedro Leon, if you're not going to acquire someone at the deadline, he might be that. And I still think that when you talk about a bullpen arm, the most logical player to trade is Chaz McCormick or Jake Myers, and trading those to a team that has great bullpen depth but struggles in the outfield. That, to me, is still the most logical trade that will happen at the deadline, is that Chaz is traded for a bullpen arm. And as soon as that happens...
It will or could happen. Logical trade that will or could happen.
I think it will happen.
You think it will happen? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Chaz McCormick will be on the Astros when we start our show next Wednesday.
Interesting. I like that one.
I think he will get traded.
Write it down. I wonder who will actually trade for it with the way he's played this year. But he did have a very good season last year. As far as the deadline priorities for the Astros as we continue, are you down with Dana Brown? He said this. Here he is being a politician. We have a chance to move the needle. That's our goal.
We just gotta get a deal done. We want to get a starter to really impact our rotation and a bullpen piece. We're in the grind to make it happen. Interesting that he brought up starter and bullpen. Not a bat. Continued Brown. We're looking at all avenues. Anything to make this club better. But most important is a starter. If we can add a bat, we'll try and do that too.
I don't think they're expecting Luis Garcia to come back this year. And I don't
Joe, you're just dropping takes on us. Let's go.
And I don't understand Justin Verlander as much as I don't understand Kyle Tucker. I was talking to Paul Marino about this yesterday on Twitter when I put out that, you know, Dana Brown needs to be on the phone. He brought up Tucker and JV, and I'm where I'm at with Justin Verlander, where I'm at with Kyle Tucker. I just don't understand because they're not telling us the severity of the injury. You know, it's a neck injury. Mm-hmm. It was just a stiff neck, and it's just he's not making real, you know, substantial progress. Both these guys, you're talking about September for them. JV's going to need a rehab start as well at this point. Last update we got was, what, he threw 15 pitches last week, I think it was.
Something like that.
So he's a September guy, end of August. Kyle Tucker might be end of August, September guy. The Rangers are on your ass.
Like, yeah, they're three games back.
Like, they're playing the White Sox, and they're playing bad competition right now.
And you're more concerned with them than you are the Mariners.
100%. And last night just reaffirmed it with what the Mariners did against the Angels.
They lost 5-1 to the Angels.
Yeah.
The Rangers beat the White Sox 3-2.
So, I can't trust that the Astros, what they're saying about Tucker and Verlander and Garcia, is actually the truth. Because these small injuries, supposedly, have turned into major injuries.
They've kept him out for a while, and maybe they are just being cautious. With Garcia, that jumped when I heard you say that.
Well, because he had the little setback.
Mm-hmm.
And
But it felt like the last update for Garcia was, well, he's doing what he was doing not that long ago again.
It's just he still seems so far away. Like, it still feels he's too to three rehab starts away from coming back. So you're still talking 15 days.
No, I get that. I heard you say that you aren't expecting Garcia back, and maybe you were talking McCullers.
No, I mean Garcia. Like, just like, if he needs two or three more rehab starts at this point, I'm negative Nancy right now. I'm just expecting something to go wrong. It just feels like everything that can go wrong has gone wrong for the Astros in their rehabbing of their injured players this year, whether it's McCullers, Garcia, Verlander, Tucker. Like, they're not probably doing anything wrong. It's just a lot of bad luck. But I don't think you can go into the trade deadline on Tuesday next week and say with confidence that Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia are the saviors to the Houston Astros in 2024.
What are you talking about? Dana's going to tell us that those were the trade deadline acquisitions. And Pedro León, also a trade deadline acquisition. And, well, if Kyle Tucker comes back, also a trade deadline acquisition. But it's like the waiver trade deadline.
It's September
1st. The old school trade deadline.
Yeah, when they got JV.
Yeah. Dana Brown's bringing it back, at least with how he frames it. Are you down with Dana Brown? The last couple of things that he had to say, he is focusing on pitchers. A third or fourth starter would be great. It's going to cost you. It would be nice to lock one down and put them in our mix. It'll be difficult to try and get a number one or number two in this market. So they're looking for a three or a four. Continue, Dana. We're in the market and acquiring the best pitcher possible. Well, hang on. I mean, then try and get a one or a two, right, Dana? If we can lock down, continue, Dana, a starter, we feel really good about that, and also adding a bullpen piece, we're working our tail off to make that happen.
It makes a lot of sense. They don't have the prospects to go get Tarek Skubal or Garrett Crochet. The White Sox pitcher you mentioned, I can't remember his name. I was talking to a buddy about him last night.
The White Sox pitcher's name is Eric Freddy.
They might have enough for him, but you know, if they're the White Sox have the fortunate position that if they're talking to three teams about Garrett Crochet, then they can say, hey, well, if you don't get Crochet, what do you want for this guy? And they can kind of raise the price of him as well. So you might be out of that market, and your best prospect right now is Jacob Melton. And, you know, TK and Blum talked about this last night. Dana Brown has been quoted last year at the deadline saying that he would lose sleep if he traded Jacob Melton.
Imagine having nightmares over that.
That's your Kyle Tucker replacement.
What a weirdo.
I know, but that's who's replacing.
Oh, I traded Jake Melton. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Just waking up in a cold sweat.
I mean, I would more have nightmares about, I don't know, my training staff being a bunch of 1600s barber surgeons accidentally hacking people's limbs off.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I don't know if they're actually doing that. It just feels like that at sometimes. That is Down with Dana Brown, Astros GM. We react to what he says over on the Astros flagship. It is Gallant and George, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Yesterday, Joe George said that no one is softer than Kevin Durant. Well, I'm going to try to outdo Kevin Durant in the next edition of Soft Boys every Wednesday at 12:30. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can text in your nominations for who's been soft in the world of sports this week. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Also on Twitch, at ESPN 975. On YouTube, at ESPN Houston. Stick around.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka saw LeBron James bitching and moaning in the middle of a game and called him a soft-ass boy, we do a segment every single 12:30 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's called Soft Boys, where we talk about people, teams, and other things that have been soft, not just in the world of sports, but in a little game that we like to call life. And yesterday, Joe, who's been on a tear, a lot of bold declarations today about the Astros on the injury front.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you said that there's no one softer than Kevin Durant.
Yeah, in professional sports, yeah.
Based off of his online persona, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Listen. You want to challenge me on this?
I will challenge you with one immediately. I think that Joel Embiid, in a podcast interview the other day, whining about the Celtics having a super team, I think that's soft.
That's very soft.
Yeah.
Especially when they drafted, like, the super parts of it.
Yeah.
So get over it.
I mean, you know what could have been a super team? You guys, if it wasn't just a God-given right for you to mail it in for a couple of years so that,
like,
you could stack up on great players and draft at the top of the draft when you actually got the number one pick.
Yes.
When you had sucked completely.
And they took Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum.
That's the best
part. Like, Joel Embiid, go complain to your ownership group.
Yeah, 100%.
Scottie Pippen, after the show, came to mind because he has been a mental disaster since The Last Dance came out.
I would agree with you there.
So he's up there for sure.
You know who's not soft? The Houston Texans. I was at training camp earlier today, and we'll touch on this a little bit more when we talk about training camp at 1 o'clock. But Stephon Diggs, diving catch over the middle. Jimmy Ward hits him while he's down on the ground. Not too hard, but enough to the point where it was annoying to Diggs. Diggs got up in his face, shoved Ward. They started jawing. Both teams, the offense, the defense, came out pushing and shoving. And then I looked down for a moment, and then I was told that Derek Stingley Jr. somehow clocked Dalton Schultz on the side of the head, knocked him down. Yeah, it was chippy practice. Derek Stingley also had an awesome interception, stepping in front of Tank Dell to catch it. He and Tank Dell played tug-of-war for like 10 to 20 seconds to the point where a bunch of players were trying to separate the two of them, and Stingley stuck with it. Hell yeah.
Hey, I like this. This is the opposite of soft.
Texans swarm!
This is what we want at training camp.
Football?
They're ready to fight other teams already.
Football's for strong men, and basketball's for people who don't like contact.
Coffee and whiskey here on the Twitch says Mike Fiers. Yes.
What did he do this time?
Super soft.
Has he done anything recently?
No, I think he's a soft boy. He's always a soft boy.
I thought he was a rat. I don't know if that makes him a soft
boy. See, I think he's a rat because he wasn't on the playoff team. He wasn't on the World Series.
But I disagree with this assessment of him as a soft boy. It takes a lot of balls to be a rat, right?
But then he was also ducking the Astros for the rest of the time he was in Major League Baseball.
Hurt.
He
never pitched against the Astros.
Yeah.
He was in the league.
Every time his spot was coming up, like the week before or the day before, he would get hurt.
I didn't know that.
I think that would have happened while you were in Seattle.
That must have been Seattle.
That was big pandemic times.
Yeah.
Because I remember specifically during 2020. Because didn't they play the A's in a... I'm now just talking to Joe. Didn't they play the A's in a playoff series?
Yes.
In 2020. And
I think they left him off the roster.
Oh, okay. Maybe they did that. But I thought everyone was like, yeah. Oh, my God, they're going to have to go against Mike Fire.
Yeah, he's a soft boy.
Very interesting. All right, soft boys again. Who's been soft in the world of sports?
Also, the beard doesn't help.
No, not at all. The G-shaped beard. Yeah, that wasn't a great look. You know, I almost wore my high school baseball hat to the show today, but it looked too much like the A's. And I've been told at times that I look like Mike Fiers, and I didn't want to look like Mike Fiers today.
That's good.
It would be soft if the people that are negotiating with the WNBA for a TV rights deal give in to Cheryl Miller, who believes that 11 years and $2.2 billion ain't enough.
Low ball.
Why do you say that?
That's a low ball. You're saying how much?
$2.2 billion over 11
not
years.
Enough. Not even close. Now, I'm not trying to inflate it a whole lot, but a 2's nice, and 8 would be better. That's what I'm talking about, because they know. They know. And we certainly have come a long way. And I'm not about gouging, but it's a long time overdue. And we're going to continue to get better and better. All you have to do is look at, you know, college basketball and what's coming next. The next wave. The next wave of excitement. And you have this now. And pretty soon we're going to add another gold medal. So women's basketball is in a great place right now.
Just what do you need to do to, then, in your mind, to go from $2.2 billion to an $8 billion, as you say? What needs to happen?
We need tough and fair negotiators and visionaries, and we need a bully. We need a bully behind the table that's willing to say, you know, we'll break up the pieces and go from there.
Imagine if somebody caves to this. The WNBA, I know that Caitlin Clarkson, but they lose about $10 million a year, and supposedly they're going to lose $50 million this year.
I don't understand what she's basing this off of. Projections of a half a season?
And what's also, Joe, I mean, we've seen the attendance numbers for games with Caitlin Clark versus games without Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, and like, yeah.
They're pretty different. And look, I mean, $2.2 billion would raise the minimum salary from $60,000 to $200,000 a year. Is that not enough?
This is one of those moments where people they show their lack of intelligence with how other sports have operated. And they think that because they're having a little bit of success, that they should skip the baby steps that everyone else has had. Think back to 1992, when the highest paid player in the NBA was making like $6 million, and where we are today. The sport changes over time. Now, what I tell the WNBA and the NBA that with where they're at, signing an 11-year contract is a terrible idea? Yes. Because, like, projection-wise, you're going to be regretting that for a long time if it continues to grow. But, like, your sport's going to be gone for 2 months now because of the Olympics. Let's see what your ratings look like when you come back.
Especially as we get closer to football season.
Yeah. Like, I hear what she's saying, but she's so off.
I do not know if she meant 2.8 or 8. If she meant 8, she is crazy. 2.8, I could understand. That's still a lot, especially considering how much it would raise the salary floor. To what Joe said, I agree. Baby steps. You can't have it all at once. A nomination from our YouTube, Andrew Sanchez, says Jim Crane for this circus to have happened instead of allowing Ego to take control with his cronies. That's a little bit all over the place, but Jim Crane being soft? I don't know. I think Jim Crane was being a little too hard here. I feel like Jim Crane was a little bit too much of a control freak.
Yeah, he's hard-headed.
I really think that the James Click situation could have been the ego moment that he's talking about there. We will see what happens with the Astros at the trade deadline.
Ooh, I'm watching the fight right now.
Oh, someone actually has video of it?
A fan got it.
Oh, thank you.
I'll send it to you right now.
We're not allowed to record video, but fans are. Go figure. Huh, liberal
ooh,
media.
Ooh, we got some cheap shots in here.
Yeah, that I think is this Stingley on Schultz. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do a Zapruder-style analysis when we talk about Texans training camp at 1 o'clock. Continuing to go through soft boys, Rory McIlroy at the British Open, his open after the fourth hole in round number two, admitted this. This is soft.
Yeah, I mean, I think once I made the eight on the fourth hole, like that was it. You know, 22 holes into the event, and I'm thinking about where I'm going to go on vacation next week. So, that was basically it. You know, I mean, I knew from then I'd sort of resigned myself to the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to shoot whatever it was, you know, four or five under from there on in to make the cut. So, it was a pretty meaningless 14 holes after that, but you know, at least I played okay, and you know, at least feel like, you know, as I said, when the wind dropped, my game felt, you know, it felt a little more comfortable for me, and I had some good shots.
I mean, just to quit. Just quit. Just go home.
Oh no. I hit an eight on shot on hole number four. Oh no, I'm going to think about a vacation. Where are we going to go to vacation when we're in England? Are we going to go to our summer cottage in North Chestershire?
He made me nervous. A couple of those words he said.
Oh yeah, when he says shot, it sounds like he's saying,
thought we might need the dump button.
Dropping the old S. Yeah.
Because, you know, us Americans might not understand what he was saying.
So Rory McIlroy, always soft. The Bears, soft for publicly co-signing Jonathan Owens, their safety, former Houston Texan, attending the Olympics to watch his wife, Simone Biles.
Come on.
Matt Eberflus even said it's he has no qualms. It is 100% soft. You have a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and
a bench warmer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to start.
He's competing for a roster spot. Sounds like he's a lock to have a spot so he can go watch his wife do something she's already done a lot.
Look, this is a family-owned business.
Oh, she had the twisties last time. That's an excuse?
They support love.
No, man, this is soft.
This is fake news.
This is soft.
This is slander.
No, you can't see it because you're too close to it. But this is why the Bears, this no one will take them seriously.
Slander.
Letting players go watch this the Olympics.
Slander. What's slander?
If he was on the Texans, we'd be calling Kyle McNair and Hannah heroes for allowing Jonathan Owens to do this.
I definitely wouldn't. I would think it's a bad look.
This
no matter
trying
what.
To win the Super Bowl. You have part one of the 55 missing a week of practice to go to Paris.
Look, no. Simone Biles is a top five athlete of the 21st century, according to ESPN.com.
Yeah.
She's a Houston legend. And Jonathan Owens is
does he not have a TV?
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan Owens, you want to be on that list? Go to practice. You know who didn't skip practice? You know who didn't skip practice growing up? Simone Biles.
That's true. But she did skip the Olympics.
She skipped the Olympics.
For a little bit. And then she came back.
Didn't skip practice, though.
He'll be back just like her.
To covering punts or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see in week two.
One last soft boys every single Wednesday at 12:30. Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay's been very whiny lately. He got upset that people called the Mets broadcast the best broadcast team in the city. Here he is whining after Astros legend Jose Siri hit a home run for the Tampa Bay Rays against his Yankees.
I just you're losing. I mean, celebrate when you're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, they're acting like it's Mardi Gras in that dugout. You're losing the game. But I asked Aaron Boone about it today. And he said, it's a new world.
Mm-hmm.
He says he tries to look away. Well, the Yankee fans have got themselves a new enemy. They see it, and every time he does that nonsense between second and third, they really boo him. And I think he enjoys it.
Listen, I mean, don't allow the home run if you don't want to get pimp walked. Is it the best look to pimp walk when you're losing? No, but if you believe that you can come back and win the game, may as well.
I love broadcasters sometimes because you know who else does this?
Who?
Juan Soto. He has done it since he was in Washington. He pimps the hell out of home runs, winning or losing. Michael Kay ain't going to say a word.
Michael Kay doesn't want the players to love the game that he supposedly loves.
And he's very angry all the time.
I hope he graduates into grumpy old man calling baseball games.
I think we're there.
Yeah, we need more. I feel like we pushed them all out too soon. Now we get, hey, if anyone flips a bat during a Yankees game, good old Michael Kay is going to be on the case.
I hope so.
Be like, I don't like this.
Sean Mapes behind the glass, Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George. Soft Boys every Wednesday at 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Up next, remember when the Houston Astros had a witch hunt upon them? The signs got stolen. Everyone in baseball was doing it, but they were still singled out as the only team who did it. Well, guess what? They've got a new brother in arms. It's not just the Patriots and Michigan football anymore. Somebody else who was just trying to help their team win just got jobbed. Who is it? We'll tell you about our new brother in arms next. We will defend the wall for them. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We had some more nominations for Soft Boys in the last segment. Someone on the text line said LeBron for flexing after he single-handedly took Germany down at the very end of that game the other night after... He thinks it's soft because they struggled to beat Germany and they almost lost to South Sudan as well. Yeah, but if you watched him play out there, I mean, he looked awesome. I can't even hate. And I'm like the OG LeBron hater.
Yeah, you celebrate, you're yeah. celebrating your country.
I think if Devin Booker was flexing, that'd be one thing. A guy who went like 1-for-7 or whatever he was. I think if you actually hit the game winner, you can do whatever you want.
100%.
Yeah. And you won. So it's okay.
A little soft. Morocco fans. I don't know how many people saw this today, but Morocco fans thought they got screwed in a game against Argentina, so they stormed the field, set off firecrackers, and threw bottles at Argentina players.
Mm. Soccer fans are super good people.
They really handle losing well.
Or just, you know, going to soccer games, because that happened while I was out. What happened in Miami?
Yeah.
When they stormed the gates.
Mm-hmm.
And during the what was it? Who was playing?
Argentina, Colombia.
Yeah. Like, that was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen.
Also, Colombia, Uruguay, there was a fight after the game in the stands.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then the players going to the stands?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cuz I think like
well, adjusted. Kids,
or no, cuz they're like beefing with the family and friends section.
Okay.
And
see, that's I understand that.
But I mean, it always
yeah.
The V in that situation is crazy.
Yeah, but like when they broke into the gates at the Dolphin Stadium was wild.
They also, you mentioned they had firecrackers. Where are they getting all these pyrotechnics?
Good question.
They always flares or firecrackers.
Can France handle the Olympics? Doesn't seem like it.
No. Yeah. Do they need America's help again?
Probably to keep the fireworks out. Yeah, they're gonna bring us with guns over. So apparently what happened was Morocco was up 2-1 in the 90th minute. They added 15 minutes of stoppage time, which is an insane amount of stoppage time. And Argentina scored in the 16th minute of those 15 minutes.
Okay, you know what?
And on top of that, there was a red card that Fernandez on Argentina should have gotten for a two-footed tackle. And there was a goal scorer who was offsides. But no, I mean, listen, soccer is soccer, and you got to respect the rules. We back the blue here. I back the blue.
I back the security guards. Did you guys see the security guards in Cleveland that were practicing?
I did not.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they were practicing. I don't know if it was actual or if someone just ran on the field during practice. But they had someone. But the way the tweet was framed was that the Browns security guard had someone running on the field and they were chasing him down, getting ready for the season. Love it.
So it's training camp for the.
It's training camp for the security guards,
yeah,
too.
Okay.
Like, that's what we need.
Let's be honest. It always seems like it's training camp for the security guards. Doesn't exactly seem like we're hiring the most fit and able people to do that job.
Yeah, they don't run a quick 40.
I do wonder, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe some of the listeners. Some of the security guard listeners out there can set me right. How long do you think it would take for me to get hired to be a Minute Maid security guard and chase and dot, dot, dot. Then later chase someone down and tackle.
Unhirable because of your hair.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's
I feel like people would be like, oh, this guy will let it slide.
Does not project authority, I would say.
You probably could have that job by the Dodgers series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where I'm standing, you know, in the orange jumpsuit or orange.
I wonder who they got to hire some people for that Dodgers series.
Yeah.
You know,
hey. I'm ready.
Ready for
security guard Sean.
$12 an hour.
Yeah, give you $12 an hour to like try to stop like Dodgers fans from bringing in switchblades. Good luck.
Yeah, I feel like it pays more than that.
Well, hey, the Astros beat the Dodgers in the 2017 World Series, and there's a lot of controversy still over that. And because of that controversy, a witch hunt done against the Astros and no other teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Dodgers. Over sign stealing, I have always felt that Astros fans should feel a sense of community and solidarity with, one, Patriots fans, who, of course, had a witch hunt upon them that led to our Lord and Savior Tom Brady being suspended 4 games and the Patriots losing a first-round draft pick. Michigan, our brothers in arms. And we're going to, I'm very much Team Connor Stallion, the guy who was apparently stealing signs for the Michigan Wolverines. Mm-hmm. You know what? There's nothing wrong with your team caring so much about you, the fan, that they'll cheat for you. Okay?
I do agree with that.
The flag does fly forever. They can't take it away unless there's some sort of weird scholarship violations. That's when they take it away. They don't take it away for cheating. So why aren't you doing it? I don't know. It's just a question I'm asking, but there's somebody else out there who is our brother in arms, or I guess our sister in arms. Because a Canadian women's soccer team assistant coach and an analyst have been kicked out of the Olympics after New Zealand said its team had its training session disrupted by a drone flown by a staff member of their Group A opponents, Canada. The Canadian Olympic Committee said this on Wednesday, so they admitted to it. They fell on the sword. I like it. I think this lady deserves a raise.
Deny. Deny, deny, deny.
She's going straight to Canadian intelligence.
Yeah. But it's Canada. They're a bunch of softies. They're going to admit when they do something wrong. So, you know, good for them, though. Cheating. Make sure you get that edge in the Olympics.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
You're right.
I mean, look.
Connor Stallions went to another team. Mm-hmm. He was on their sideline. Mm-hmm. He wore their uniform. He wore a fake mustache.
Yeah.
He went all out. Okay?
He probably was embarrassed to wear an Eastern Michigan hat.
Yeah. You can't half-ass it. No. Maybe they were just too obvious with the drone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they needed to wear, like, camo. Yeah. It's like, get to the top of the stadium with binoculars.
Do you think the drone had Canadian colors?
Oh, just red and white.
It's like really obvious.
Has a maple leaf on it.
Yeah, it's like a maple leaf on it. Who could this be?
Yeah, just throw on a New Zealand sweatsuit and just stand there with your arms folded.
Yeah.
And one of those, like, lapel cameras from Mission Impossible. And boom, you just film practice.
Yeah.
They're in a 4-3-3. Aha. Uh-huh.
The Canadians are just too nice, so they just don't know how to cheat correctly. They just made it too obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just call Bill Belichick. He knows how to use Spygate.
Allegedly. And it was just because of where he placed the cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, Mike Shanahan and Jimmy Johnson did it, but no one talks about that. Again, witch hunt.
He could have some notes about where to place this drone.
How do we know that the other countries weren't using drones, you know?
Well, China's above using drones? Okay, sure. The commies? Just the Canadians are the ones who got caught.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I expect every communist country to cheat. And you know what? I respect it. I respect it. They care. Russia, everyone's juiced up. They care. They're trying to win. Brothers in arms.
I like the idea of the U.S. using, like, the stealth drones that they have that costs, like, $8 billion to make each one, but using it to film practice.
You got to see those set pieces. It's an uphill battle. I mean, look, they don't even know who their coach is. It's not Greg Berhalter. What other, like, random guy who got, deported from his country in disgrace after sucking with their team? Who can we get?
You got to
do everything you can. So the U.S. men's team, I mean, they should be cheating in these Olympics.
Well, they're at the point where coaches or television analysts are saying they'll coach for free.
Yeah,
Alexi Lawless said he'll coach for free $99.
Yeah, that's like Desmond Howard offering to coach the Michigan, take the Michigan job or something. It's like, hey, once you get to that point.
If Dion can do it, why can't Alexi? I'm just saying.
Do they have the transfer portal? Does he have a kid that's awesome? I mean,
when I think Deion Sanders, I think Alexi Lawless.
They're both on television.
Also, Team USA has no problem going 4-8.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, they're good with it. So it's Colorado. Like,
I don't see color, but Deion Sanders, black. Alexi Lawless, black, right?
Yeah.
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 He's got red hair. It's different, but, you know. I'm sorry. There are no similarities. I'm being very sarcastic.
They're both on TV.
They literally have, but that's not even. Wasn't even similar. Like there's no similarities between Deion and Alexi
Lawless. Deion was on the NFL Network.
They played in the 90s. And,
played in the 90s.
I truly can't think of one.
Like, big personalities.
Has Deion ever kicked the ball? I don't think so.
Yeah, but Deion coaches
probably
football.
Harder now.
So Deion Sanders for Team USA.
Deion Sanders contact averse. Alexi Lawless played soccer. Probably contact averse. Mm. Okay, that's all I got.
All right.
Anyway, there you go.
I don't support Canada, though.
Are those
so,
from
sorry.
Florida?
No.
Where's Alexi Lawless?
I'll stand with Michigan, and I'll stand with the Patriots for you, Paul.
Okay,
I will
thank
not
you.
Stand with Canada.
Okay.
So, sorry. There has to be lines.
They're brothers in arms. They just care about their countrymen. Anyway.
Sisters in
arms. Yeah, my bad. Sisters in arms. I don't see gender.
Just making sure you know.
I don't see color, gender, you know. I don't see anything, in fact. Hey, it's Kalan and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Up next, Texans training camp. I was out there today, and there was a fight. Two fights, in fact. It was chippy. I'll tell you everything that I saw out there. Stick around, Kalan and George.
LaBerge Lake Charles, best place to go bet on your favorite Texas teams, whether it's the Texans, the Rockets, the Astros. You just want to bet on the NFL. It's college football season. So whatever you're feeling, it's a great place to do it. All the props, all the lines, everything is available for you. So I can't recommend it enough. 19 betting kiosks, so you can bet on your own. You can download the ESPN Bet app, or you can be old school and go right up to the desk and place your wagers there as well. Inside the sports book, there's great food. They have blackjack tables, which are $5 or $10 limit or minimum hands. So honestly, it's one of the best places to go to just for that. If you want to play blackjack, because you can just find a cheap table. It's hard to find those things. And today, when you go to a casino, we all know that. I can't recommend enough. And when you go, make sure you download the Penn Play app. You can go with $200 in Penn Play cash and tell them Joe George sent you by.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.